Hello, everyone. Welcome back, the viewers from the OCC event, to a special episode of In the Money. My name is Andrew McGowan, part of our trading strategy desk in here at Fidelity. Normally, on In the Money, we get to spend about a half hour at the most, maybe together, talking headline news, looking at a few trade ideas. But for this episode, we get to spend a better part of an hour with one another, not only looking at those ideas and those macroeconomic comments, but also including a question and answer segment from Tony to dive deeper into the process from one options trader to the other. So if you have any questions and you would like them answered today, please put that in the Q&A tool. We'll try to get to as many things as we can, and we'll try to include that in the latter half of today's In the Money session. So if this is your first time with us for an In the Money event, welcome. With me today, as always, is Tony Zhang, Chief Strategy Officer and co-founder over at Options Play. Tony, it's been a very interesting and volatile period of time since we last spoke. Glad to have you back on. How have you been?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Andrew. Thank you so much. I'm doing well, and you're right. It's been an interesting week, to say the least. We started off the week on, or rather, we ended last week on what was a very positive note. You have the S&P 500 off up about 23% off of the April lows in about a month's time. That was one of the fastest rallies we've seen in the S&P 500 in history. But the mood soured a little bit over the weekend with the Moody's downgrade of U.S. Treasuries. And it kind of brought back the sell America trade that we saw earlier on in the beginning of April. But what was really interesting, actually, was just how the equity markets shrugged off the Moody's downgrade by the end of Monday. We started Monday down about 1%. By the end of Monday, we were up on positive on the day. So it's been an interesting market to trade because, the fundamentals have sort of decoupled a little bit from where investors are currently pushing the markets. The S&P 500 on that big rally that I'm talking about is starting to show some signs of exhaustion here. We've broken out above that $5,900 level initially. We're trading below that. And from my perspective, when you look at the S&P 500, you see this starting to pull back here. There's not a lot of downside support here on the S&P 500 until the 5350 level here. So there is some downside risk, in my opinion, with the equity markets right now, especially if you look at what the bond markets are telling us. The poor auction that we saw here with the Treasury market yesterday is what reminded investors that bond markets are really what's driving the markets, and it's starting to try to force the issue here. We have 20 and 30-year yields back above 5%. You have the 10-year yields now pushing above 4.6%. I think that can get as high as around 4.8%. Mortgages are above 7% here right now. I know I'm throwing out a lot of numbers, but these are important levels to pay attention to. You have the dollar index back below a major psychological level, which is the $100 level. We're seeing kind of selling of U.S. assets across the board. And largely, and then if you look at the VIX is now back below 20%. So we had that move lower to around 17. It lifted off yesterday to just slightly above 20%. Now we're below it again. So from my perspective, when you look at all of this in conjunction with each other and you see kind of where the equity markets are trading, it really feels like the equity markets are continuing to, again, shrug off this major risk that the bond markets are trying to tell us with regards to the downgrade, with regards to where yields are, that there's substantial downside risks with the credit market here. So I think that when you look at kind of the optimism that the equity markets have traded off of for the last 4 to 5 weeks, which is on the back of, the trade war de-escalation, they've sort of forgotten this big concern that we have here with the treasury market. But at the moment, the bond market is forcing the issue. It's raising the debt problem, the fact that we have $36 trillion worth of debt and it's still continuing to grow. This is a big problem that we have to solve. And, yes, today's market may be stabilized a little bit with the House passing the tax bill, but, it doesn't really solve or doesn't clear the path to how we solve the debt problem. And I think that's really what investors need to start paying attention to as equity investors as well, because, we're getting to a point where the The bond market is yielding higher yields than what you can get from equities. So, even if it's not necessarily 100% risk-free, you're still having a fairly safe investment in treasuries that is yielding a very nice return right now that you might not even get from equities. So, with 92% of the S&P 500 finished reporting for the season, we have a slew of major economic events next week. We have GDP coming out, we have Fed minutes, we have the core PCE inflation numbers. These are all potential catalysts next week for the markets, but I think we really have to keep our eyes out on rates right now. That is what's driving sentiment, and that is what we have to look at for determining our outlook here for equities as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like we've been looking at very similar components lately. As you mentioned, headline risk, a major component to be on the lookout for, traders keeping their head on a swivel, especially now with the news of that Moody's downgrade that you had mentioned. Although equities didn't have a very large reaction initially, we've had quite the reaction in the bond market, like you mentioned, the yields, with many of those longer-term yields hitting levels we have not seen in quite some time. The 10-year yield getting back above that 4.5 level, and the 30-year yield actually hitting above a 5 handle, all things considered here. So very interesting moves that the market's trying to price in as that factors into a ripple effect of different components out there in the equity space. But on the S&P 500, that 200-day moving average at roughly 5770, 5770 remains fairly important for bulls to hold if it were to be tested. But on that note, if you'd like to get any daily live updates and market briefings on these important themes, please join my team, the Trading Strategy Desk live coaching sessions at fidelity.com/coaching, where we look at these events on a daily basis. But that being said, I know you do have a trade idea to discuss with us today. What's that first trade idea? What are we thinking about as far as outlooks and components in the marketplace?
Yeah, Andrew, I want to take a look at commodities and specifically John Deere because agriculture prices continue to be pressured to the downside this year. And John Deere faces some severe headwinds with kind of where agriculture is and just the general macroeconomic trends that we have seen over the past, call it 4 to 5 months, because demand for heavy machinery has already been on decline this year, and the stock has rallied up to all-time highs. So the underlying fundamentals are sort of spelling out some trouble, but the stock has actually rallied in the exact opposite direction. And I think that presents an opportunity for investors to potentially profit from a pullback here for John Deere, especially as we start to see some signs of exhaustion on these moves to all-time highs. If we look at a chart here for John Deere, and what we have here is a weekly chart on your screen, what you see here is that we've made multiple series of higher highs over the last 6 months or so, but those higher highs have been coupled with what we consider as negative divergence. And what that means is that we're making higher highs in price, but momentum is actually diverging from that and no longer making higher highs. It's making lower highs. And those are some signs that the moves to these all-time highs are starting to get exhausted here in terms of buyers, and there's a higher probability of a pullback here in this particular stock. And I think this provides that opportunity to potentially add some bearish exposure where the risk to reward looks incredibly attractive to take some bearish exposure. And then if you look at the business itself, this is really where I think the story is more compelling, is the fact that John Deere trades at 28 times forward earnings, which is incredibly high for, a capital-intensive business like John Deere. Where, they can't scale up John Deere the way they can scale up servers in the technology space. So, when you talk about selling cost, physical goods, trading at 28 times forward earnings is incredibly high, especially if you consider that the industry average for this for farming equipment is around 17 times forward earnings. So you're talking about trading at multiples that are way higher than the industry average. Now, I will say John Deere expects to grow far faster than the industry and is actually slightly more profitable than the industry. So there is justification for John Deere to trade at a higher valuation, but if you consider the fact that it's trading at, well over 50% higher valuation than the industry, I think that there are some substantial risks for stocks like John Deere or in this particular industry to be trading at such rich valuations especially when you consider the underlying fundamentals. They just reported earnings last week, and you have to think about the fact that they've been seeing a year-over-year decline on both top and bottom line this year. You know, just what they reported, revenues were down 16% year-over-year compared to the same quarter last year. Earnings were down 22% compared to the same time last year. Yet the stock is making all-time highs. Something doesn't add up here. And when you're trading at such rich valuations, that's really where I think there are some substantial risks to the downside when you are seeing these types of revenue and earnings declines, and you have a stock that's trading at such rich valuations. So I think the way that I want to take advantage of this potential move to the downside is to buy a put spread here. So I'm going out to the June expiration. That's about 30 days from expiration from now. I'm looking at buying the 520 by 510 put spread here. Earlier today, you can pay about $4.95 for that put spread. And this gives you a clean 1-to-1 risk to reward ratio if John Deere is below $510 by that June expiration. So we're only talking about a few dollar move here to the downside that will give you a near 100% return on your investment. And that's the type of trade structure that I think in this type of market environment where you have a lot of volatility, you have a lot of uncertainty, makes some sense here for John Deere to get some downside exposure.
Absolutely. Appreciate that excellent breakdown there, Tony. Again, I want to point out that this is another example in which traders can combine a variety of perspectives from a top-down approach, both fundamentally as well as technically, especially with respect to a kind of broad macroeconomic moment and how they could impact on that specific equity. On top of that, though, it's a great example of how traders can use options to efficiently allocate to risk. When traders are considering different option strategies, the question of one leg or two is generally something that comes up from time to time. And as you mentioned, one of the benefits of this approach is the predefining of the risk and reward ratio. And that helps traders plan for the different variety of outcomes, both in the event they are right, but also, and maybe even more importantly, in the event that they are wrong. But one thing I really want to expand upon that you mentioned is this idea of momentum divergence, using RSI as a gauge of that. RSI being a way that we kind of get a ratio of sorts of upward thrust versus downward thrust in the marketplace. And why that's important, the spirit of bearish momentum divergence comes down to this idea that price has gone up, but with declining momentum, potentially giving us an idea of waning demand at new highs. And that can be an important piece of evidence for traders to factor in the technically driven side of the equation. But that being said, and now that we have covered this new trade idea, it's time we review a trade idea from a prior episode. I love these lookbacks. They're very generally helpful for newer options traders because it allows them to see how these risk and reward opportunities, as I mentioned, have played out in the real world. So, with that being said, Tony, which trade are we looking back on today?
Yeah, I want to take a look at a trade that we placed a few weeks ago. Actually, we started this trade even further back, about 2 months ago. We sold a put spread on Meta, and when the trade worked in our favor, we rolled that put spread that we originally had into the June 580, 540 put spread. So this is a put spread that we sold, which means that we collected about $14.85 worth of credit on this particular trade. Now, since we placed that trade, the stock has rallied pretty substantially from that 580 or roughly level to around 637. So that put spread that we originally sold for around $14.85 is now only trading around $3.30, which means that we profit in this particular case about $1,150 per contract if you had sold at these specific levels. So, given the macroeconomic conditions that I currently see and the risk of a pullback here in the broader markets, I think now is the time to take profits on this particular trade because even if we were to hold this for another month through expiration, you could only make another $330. We've already made the lion's share of the potential profits on this particular trade. I don't think it's worth continuing to hold on to this for a small amount of potential gain with what I believe is potentially a risk of a pullback here. So I think now is the time, after rolling this trade once, to simply close out this trade and take profits on both trades and move on for our next opportunity.
Absolutely. I love that that look back does demonstrate the power of why it's important to be active in our management, why it's important to have a continuous outlook on price, time, and volatility, because especially on spreads like this, it's important to consider how that risk and reward profile changes as the trade plays out. This trade's captured a substantial amount of its total maximum gain, but sometimes traders sometimes anchor ourselves to capturing the entirety of that maximum gain. And we think about it as we were positioned at the onset to be able to capture, overlooking that potential for it to turn around on us and what remaining risk is out there in the position. Like you mentioned, at this moment in time, the only can additional benefit we get is in another $3.30 versus this going back against us, either back to our original basis or even worse, against us with the entirety of the spread risk itself. And to expand upon that, an important distinction of we discussed in this session in particular, I believe I was the host for this event for the MetaTrade, was that when we compare this trade to sometimes when we look at cash secured puts, the capital efficiency, the capital idea of had we just simply sold a 580 strike put, that's a substantial amount of capital we have to set aside versus creating a spread where we limit that risk. Does that mean that we remove the worst case scenario from the situation? No, not by any means, but it does mean that we are trying to be more capitally efficient. And of course, that does come with a cost, but a very excellent sort of approach in this sense of what we've seen at play out on this trade. As you mentioned, Meta now trading at the 640 range, I believe, at this moment in time. But that being said, that does bring us to a close for today's event. I want to thank all of our viewers for tuning in today, especially if you've been here for all three events. Don't forget, as mentioned earlier, I'll be back with the Trading Strategy Desk for a follow-up session hosted by myself and a colleague tomorrow, Friday at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can sign up for that class by going to fidelity.com/inthemoneyfollowup. We also offer a Fidelity Active Investor newsletter where we strive to provide meaningful and timely trading insights right to your inbox by going to fidelity.com/activeinvestorweekly. We're looking forward to seeing you all during the next In the Money event. Until then, take care, everyone.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options such as spreads, straddles, and collars as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you are most comfortable with. As with all your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play and are not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use.
Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments claims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.
Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.